When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here every week, win, lose or draw, talking all things United. This is the United People's Podcast.
Well then, ladies and gents, how are you all doing? Sam, Val and Jake here for another episode of United People's Podcast. And unfortunately, we can't exactly come here with good news. That defeat to Brighton 3-1, we're going to run through the game, run through all the talking points, going to speak about, you know, the tactical issues from Ten Hag, the different starting 11, Rashford, I think, is a talking point. Hoyland's debut. Kind of an overall where the club is right now. It's been a really shaky start to the season. Three losses in the league now. United down in 12th, I think it is. Bayern Munich coming up on Wednesday. It's a tough time. Bal, you were at the game yesterday. I'm guessing you had a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't fantastic, put it that way. No, we started off really well. I think he surprised everyone with the diamond shape and with the two up top. But when the first 15 minutes, we didn't take any of the chance. I think we're a bit unlucky with a couple of them, good blocks by them. They very, very quickly came into the game and settled down, started playing the ball about. We're getting out so, so easy from the back. And then our lack of width and protection for the fullbacks started to then show. And then
Ten Hag is obviously he switched the system yesterday and it caught Brighton out. De Zerbi spoke about it after the game. He goes, we didn't prep for that. So for the first 15, 20 minutes, they didn't really know what to do. And then Brighton just did a little tactical tweak. They just had their two centre-backs. They split instead of playing through the middle. Lamptey and whoever the other fullback was, they pushed up slightly. And all of a sudden, two little tiny tweaks from De Zerbi and Brighton had the measure of the game. Jake, what was your take on the sort of the in-game tactics from Ten Hag? Because I think from that game yesterday, I think it's very fair to throw questions and criticism at the manager. And I don't think it's like an over reaction or a knee jerk, and no one's saying Ten Hag out and all that bollocks, but there were problems yesterday and De Zerbi had problems, but he kind of switched it and Brighton got a hold of the game. But Ten Hag, he either didn't have an answer or he was confident that what he planned with was going to work, and it didn't, and nothing really changed from then on in the game.
I think we've spoken before, and United feel like a team that doesn't really play in a particular style. Like, it doesn't get drilled into them in exactly the same way. You know, some teams, you know how they're going to play, whether they're 1-0 down, 1-0 up, whatever, they'll play the same way. And it looked like Brighton had an answer for anything that could be thrown at them. And that's how they did. They tweaked. Obviously, we started the game really well. But again, if those first 20 minutes go really well and then you go one down and it's kind of like out of nowhere, there's a part of you that thinks, well, I'm not going to change it up because it was working for the last 20 minutes. So let's just see how it goes and carry on. But at that point, you're really starting to lose grip on the game. So you kind of almost wait for half time. And I thought
half time is what I was going to say there, man.
And I just thought that, yes, I can understand why he didn't change it. But I do, yeah, you know, we could potentially, the Hoyland goal, et cetera, to get it back to 1-1 and such things like that, they make the game a different game, as it were, if obviously was given. But yeah, I just felt that we waited until half time to have that discussion, and by that point we were really second best in the game.
But if you're looking at last two games, right, we've come on the wrong side of two millimeter decisions. One which would have been probably a win at Arsenal, one which would have been United going in 1-0 at half time. But it's for me, the thing that's probably the most concerning still, patterns keep repeating themselves, I think, Bao, anyway, is we still don't have that control. Right? That's what Ten Hag is. In my eyes, you know, you say we haven't got a style to play. I know I've watched enough of Ajax and I've watched enough of Ten Hag's teams at their peak to know what Ten Hag wants his team to do. That's why we signed Onana. That's why I was excited about that. But still, we are so heavily reliant on the counter press, on winning the ball back in their half within like 15 seconds. And if we don't do that and teams play around it, we don't really have, we don't create enough opportunities elsewhere.
Well, the issue with the counter press I saw several times yesterday is they don't do it in numbers. You got Bruno running around like a headless chicken, or Hoyland going on his own. Rashford was just pretty much just sulking majority of the game off the ball. I thought first off he did well on the ball, but then his lack of a footballing brain, in my opinion, comes to the front. Like, all we kept doing first half was just lumping the ball into the air for Hoyland to try and win, but Duncan, whoever the other centre half was, was it Veltman?
Yeah, I think it was Veltman.
They literally won everything. And then second half, they started to then play into Hoyland's body, and then that's where he was able to, as he was doing at Arsenal, hold them off, bring others into the game. That's when he spread it back to Rashford. And at that point, Rashford has to either hit the target or he has to play that ball across, and he doesn't either. And that's the most infuriating thing about it, is that's 1-1, and then the game's back to level then. And suddenly five minutes later, they go up the other end and make it 2.
I think with Rashford, Rashford yesterday, right? So Rashford hasn't played with Haaland. That's the first time they've started a game together, right? So normally when you get a new signing in, you get your new signing in pre-season, they get 2, 3, 4 weeks to get to know each other, get to know each other's game and understand the runs. And I know that will improve over time. But the way I looked at it, Jake, was that Rashford last season, he was turned into a 30-goal striker. Well, it wasn't a striker. He was like a 30-goal attacker. It was an incredible season from Rashford. He was the main don. Like, there wasn't really anybody else who was scoring goals. It was kind of drilled into him by Benny McCarthy and Ten Hag. So you're the leading man. You've got to take the chances. Whereas now, we've got a number 9 who's actually going to be in the right position more often than not. And yesterday was, obviously there was one example that kind of went viral where Rashford sort of drove it down, head down, left foot shot into the side netting. And had he just clipped in a little cute pass, he could have got it over the Brighton defender in front of him, and Haaland would have just had a little tap in. I think that will come in time, but I think Rashford's kind of got to adapt his game now to understand there's going to be someone there with me, right?
Yeah, ultimately, like, we do have someone who looks like they can poach, you know, the positions that he's getting in the box. I don't think Rashford gets the ball across. I do think the defender probably cuts that out. But regardless, if you don't hit the target with your shot, that's when the questions will be asked. If he hits the target, you make the keeper work. The keeper potentially parries it out to Hoyland anyway. Yeah. But by not hitting the target, it's criminal, because you have all these still frames that are on Twitter or whatever that look like it's a simple pass across. But actually, angles, I didn't think he had the right angle for it. But again, that's just me. I think with last season, with him, he just went through that stage, and a lot of strikers get this, where almost everything goes in. So you have a look at a few of his goals. They either get deflected in somehow, or they've made their way in. And then obviously mixed in that is some brilliant goals as well. And they just go through these weeks of form where they're almost unstoppable, you know, but he hasn't found that yet. He's not finding the target. He's not making the keeper work. And he had one in the first half. He cut in on his right and he hit it just wide of the top right-hand corner. But yeah, he's got to make the keeper work.
I remember a shout, because Matt was next to me. As soon as he cuts in, he was like, you have to wrap your foot around that. Not every single shot has to be laces. And that's his only way of shooting, is putting his foot through the ball.
Yeah, this is a conversation we all had about Rashford last year, right? And I don't know whether that part of his game kind of ever will develop. It's just he's so instinctive in how he shoots, and it's kind of
strange, because when he reached 100 goals, one morning on the cross trainer, I wanted something to watch, so I went back and watched his 100 goals, because I'm really cool like that. And actually, if you watch a lot of his goals, so many of them are placed, yeah, where he has taken the time and he passes it into the corner, or he just passes it past the goalkeeper. And you think to yourself, if you actually look at the percentage of chances you score when you place, as opposed to when you just thunder twat it,
he surely got a look, and someone's got to have that. Go and watch it, and anyone who's listening, have a look at those first 100 goals he scores and how many of them are actually placed in the corner.
Placed, do you mean like open his foot up? Or
yeah, a bit, you know, like everyone calls it the Henry style, where you open your foot, bend it around the keeper, or, you know, if he's running through and he brings it across the goalkeeper rather than around. You'd be surprised. Go and have a look. You'd be surprised at how many he does.
Do you think it's kind of got anything to do with like the pace of the game that he plays? Because he moves fast. Like his transitions are fast. Like rarely do you kind of see Rashford sort of ambling towards the defender. It's kind of at pace. He's moving as quick as possible because it's part of his, it's what makes him dangerous.
But Henry wasn't slow, was he?
Well, he wasn't slow, but pace wasn't as important to his game as pace is to Rashford's.
But I think Rashford is a powerful individual. And again, I bet you in training, when he's doing those, he really hits them and he scores the majority. And then it comes to match day, you get less chances than you would in training.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when you don't score them, you'll be judged.
Right, you're Ten Hag, right? So it's been a rough start to the season. There's not been any games that we've controlled. And that for me is the thing that sort of is going to keep repeating, because we are in his second season now. Ten Hag has got plenty of signings that he wanted. We should be like, Amrabat will no doubt come in and help with that. That first phase midfield, you might say it's boring and shit like that, and people keep going on about it, but it's completely fucking true. We don't have that first phase midfielder who receives it from the two centre backs. You watched it against Wolves. Onana so often had the ball at his feet. He's kind of looking there. 3-4 seconds, kicks long. Or 3-4 seconds, out to Delo, back to Onana, kicks it long. It's kind of like how De Gea played. I expected there to be much more of an obvious change in style with the arrival of Onana. That hasn't quite happened yet. And I'll tell you one person who's not come back to this season completely himself yet is Martinez, right? I don't know if you noticed it. He's been, I mean, it's what you expect, right? After coming back from a serious injury, it's going to take you quite a while to sort of find your rhythm. But he's so key to that style of play, to those line-breaking passes through the middle from the center of defense. And without that, and without like a midfielder dropping deep, we still don't have that build-up play.
I think we're missing Varane the most in the back line. Because if you think when Varane played with Shaw against City, we defended really well that day. Varane and Lindelof have played together when Martinez got his injury.
Yeah.
I think it's when Varane goes, he's not playing, literally our defensive support falls to pieces.
Like even this season, right, we've had Varane in, but I would say you're probably looking at first 45 against Spurs, really good. And then we completely dropped off, completely tailed off. First 20 against Brighton, really good. And then we dropped off and we tailed off. There's patterns that are repeating throughout these games. And what does Ten Hag think after this game? Is he coming out of that like grilling everyone in training, or is he saying, all right, okay, the first 20 was good, but you know, you got to keep that intensity up. Is it a lack of fitness? Is it a hangover from too many games? Is it a poor preseason? Like, what could you put your finger on that would all of a sudden, because Ten Hag's had bounce backs, right? We've had defeats last season and we bounced back quite a few times. It feels like we don't need a bounce back right now. It's like we need a proper momentum shift towards this Ten Hag style that you're right. I think it's fair. We don't have that just yet. And we've got Bayern Munich on Wednesday. I'm laughing, but
the issue for me Saturday was I was looking at two different teams. One team where every single player knew what his responsibility was and what his role in how they were setting up was in terms of what the manager expected from him.
Yeah.
Whereas even then the subs who came on for them, it was like for like, and you didn't see kind of breaking their transition or their style. You thought, you know what, they're actually a very, very good football team to watch. Whereas with us, it was like there was times where we were at home and Brighton kept the ball for about 3-4 minutes, just knocking it about front to back, left to right, and we just couldn't cope with it. And I think that just comes down to, is it personnel? In terms of, he's been lucky in the sense that I don't think even last season did he ever have his first choice team available to him.
I don't think you can put it all down to personnel. I think that would kind of be an easy route out. I think it's part of it, sure, but like you're this far in, it's either the instructions from the coaches are too difficult to comprehend, or they're not being told what to do. And I don't think it can't be that.
Brighton made six changes yesterday. So if we're going to blame personnel, you've got to take that into consideration. And I just thought, like you said, maybe he has different strategies for different players or what have you, whereas other clubs will say, no, this is the exact way we're going to play and this is how we do it. And maybe Ten Hag thinks that actually if X player cannot play, well, we can't play in that system because this player isn't capable of doing this. But I thought it was a big eye-opener yesterday just how well Brighton were, because we probably haven't spoken enough about that. Brighton were very, very good, and they were so good with the football. And yes, we didn't press them in a team way, but they were so comfortable with the ball. And that first goal, Danny Welbeck's role in that first goal, for a player that, you know,
had to be Welbeck.
Yeah, well, it did, but the way he drops, he comes in 20 yards, so he finds that gap between centre mid and centre back, and no one knows who to go with. And he knows all he's got to do, one touch pass out. Once he's had his touch, that's his job done. And that's it's just, you don't understand, or a lot of people won't understand how easy that is to do, but how difficult it is to understand. And you come in, you play the ball. And then when you watch him go, who is supposed to be marking him? Because the images will tell you McTominay just switched off. But McTominay would have been marking him. Yeah, but he wouldn't have been marking him originally.
Watch McTominay's run. He practically jogs. If you're the defensive midfielder, the anchor man, you should be busting your gut there.
And I agree, but the cleverness of it is dropping in that 10-15 because McTominay wasn't your man. Yeah? So now you've confused two players, one in midfield, one in defence, and you've just run off them. And Welbeck doesn't need to sprint, because if he sprints, the defender goes with him. Yeah? And if he doesn't sprint, I mean, McTominay's in this, he should have followed him, but he just picks up the space so well and he takes players out of the game. And there's a lot of coaching in that.
Mate, I think the press, or the lack of intensity in the press and the lack of collectiveness in the press is probably the thing that's hurting Ten Hag's style the most right now, in terms of where United have had their successes in quotation marks this season, where we've looked slightly good. Is when that press has really worked. Spurs first 45, I don't know how many chances, I think we had 12 chances in that half. We didn't take them, sure, but we created so much. But really, like, Klopp was like heavy metal football, right? And it reached a burnout point. Because of the way that football is, it is unsustainable over, like, probably more than, I don't know, maybe four seasons with the same personnel. You can recruit right and scout right, so you can keep renewing it. But it's why Liverpool went through that year of absolute carnage, and now they're looking slightly better. But
the reusable asthma pumps also help.
Oh yeah, I mean, they did actually. Yeah, now that you mentioned those, we need to get a few of those. But United won't be able to sustain that sort, and we haven't been able to sustain that intense press for 90 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week. It's not feasible, which is why you need that control. You need to have like 40 to 50 minutes of it, maybe not that much, but a lot of the game, you should just be able to knock it about. Let your players recover mid-game rather than constantly be doing those 1 to 10 yard sprints like too often. And then it just keeps happening. I hope that Amrabat comes in and really helps that. Because Ten Hag needs it. It's it just like overall now, where this, like, there's people that are trying to throw it as a crisis. There's people trying to, you know, sprinkle some seasoning on it and twist a knife with United. What would you say is the state of United right now? How would you describe it? Would you describe it as a crisis or not? Because I wouldn't describe it as a crisis, but I'm now, that game there against Brighton was where I probably for the first time became concerned, I think, about Ten Hag's tactics and where this team is going.
I think there's definitely issues there, because as you pointed out in regards to the control, when we're in position, when we're out of position, we run around at 100 miles an hour. Brighton yesterday at times that, you know what, let's just put a ball on it, let's recycle the football. If we need to go backwards, let's go backwards, but let's keep it. United, when we got it, it was like, it's a hot potato. Nobody wants it. I mean, there's one thing when Eriksen did his pirouette first half, did his 360, played it to Casemiro. So many Casemiro's passing yesterday. It was simple balls, and he just put too much on it because he wanted to make himself look good in his execution of the pass, where just making a simple pass puts Bruno through. I think he did one to Rashford where he put it out for a throw,
yeah,
unnecessarily. But there was definitely issues there. We can blame the takeover issue. It's not. It has to be a consideration in terms of what's going on. All the off the field shit isn't happening with obviously with Greenwood, Antony, Sancho. It is a fucking soap opera. I mean, how many during the international breaks? How many statements did United release?
Well, I don't know. More than we've had wins this season.
Yeah.
You saw that as well, right? Yeah. Five statements versus three away wins. Yeah, all in 2023. Yeah,
and I mean, I don't know what kind of form Bayern Munich are in. I mean, it's not really hard for them to.
They drew against Bayer Leverkusen on Friday. I think Leverkusen got like a 94th minute penalty, but it's Bayern Munich, right? It's Bayern Munich away in the Champions League. Like, what? How do United approach? Because surely you approach that in a proper 4-5-1, in a proper European away game. Because a draw there is a superb result, right? And it's not defeatist to think about going. I'm not saying that United will go there to play for the draw, but a draw is an excellent result. So, yeah, Ten Hag showed by switching to split strikers and switching systems that he's prepared to switch systems to play certain teams. Play like we played against Brighton, and Bayern Munich will just pass it around us, and it won't be pretty. Do we play a different system? Do we play slightly different away against Bayern?
I think we probably set up in a similar way, but in a slightly more conservative way. But so because of the pace that we genuinely have on the counter attack, I think he'll look to that. So he'll look towards Rashford, Hoyland, and whoever's going to start on the right. And he'll know that that's where we can find our most joy, because Bayern, in a very similar way to say like Barcelona last season, they'll push their fullbacks on, and their fullbacks will push into a central position as well at times. And it just leaves that gap because they're willing to say, do you know what? That ball out wide, we'll cover that, because you've got to get it perfect to get it in behind. So you're not actually getting in behind, you're getting out wide, and then you'll push and relieve the pressure.
Just need a Paddy Evra.
Yeah. It would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Are you Bayern Munich away, given the context of our current results, is not exactly the easiest of games to have. But what would you genuinely expect from United on Wednesday? Would you accept? We've had crap results before, and we have bounced back. But that was like the Arsenal game wasn't a crap. I suppose we'll probably kind of play like we did against Arsenal, right? Against Arsenal, we did slow it down. Against Arsenal, we had some actual control of that because Arsenal didn't want to press Onana, and we just kind of, they might have said it was slow and cumbersome, but United were just kind of in control for quite a lot of it. And then we could have had that late winner, and it would have been brilliant, and it would have been hailed as a solid away performance. We've got to try and reduce the amount of ball that Bayern Munich have, because if they just keep recycling, I don't think that we can have much confidence in that defense being like resolute. You know how last year, Southampton, we won 1-0 away, Leicester, we won 1-0 away, and we got a goal and we sat back and we held out. I wouldn't expect us to be able to do that against Bayern Munich. I'd love to be proven wrong. 1-0 would probably be the ideal result, dream result. But I'm not sure you can have too much confidence in the defense to be disciplined. I'm not sure you can have too much confidence in that midfield to control it. And our attack is, well, it's been misfiring all season, right?
Well, yesterday it could have easily been 4 or 5, by the way. Onana made some good saves towards the end. And there's a significant amount more quality on that pitch in the opposition than there was yesterday with Bayern Munich. Probably got mine and Jake's wet dream of a super centre forward up front. Who will categorically score, yeah.
I've got two things written here. We will score first. Kane will 100% score. Okay. That's
those two things will definitely happen.
Well, if they do, then you know, come at me. Just give me the money now.
Just give me the money. Look, right. What would you genuinely predict for the game? Like, how do you think the game will go rather than just the result itself?
It's back to that thing where I don't know what Manchester United are going to turn up. That's the thing. Defensively, midfield wise, how are we going to play? In terms of, is Rashford going to be one of those performances where he's you can't defend everything against him? Everything comes off. But you have to start playing in your twos and threes and fours. You have to, otherwise you're just a bunch of individuals. And it told yesterday.
I think part of the fact we've got to get some consistency, not only in the way that we play, but in the team that we're lining up. If you think from start of the season, players that either are or aren't there, or you swapped out, you've got obviously Martial and Hoyland have swapped out. Varane obviously has been injured, and Lindelof's come in. There's no Antony at the moment, so you're potentially playing Bruno or another person in his position. There's no Luke Shaw, so you're playing Dalot or Reguilon, who
actually play well.
Yeah, looked a positive player. And actually, a friend of mine, Spurs season ticket holder, and he can't believe Spurs never played him. He said, you will love him at United. He's a very good player. So, and I obviously haven't seen enough of him. So, but he did play well.
Can't be any worse than Telles, right?
And then obviously Mount's injured. So, like, since the start of the season and pre-season, it's just been a very kind of like, just put the team together and get them out on the pitch type thing. And I think that shows.
The circumstances around the team with all the injuries, with everything that has been going, like, people were going to laugh and joke, oh, yeah, there we go, only mentioning Glazer out after a loss. It's like, no, whether United win, lose or draw, the limbo takeover of our entire football club and every single employee of that club is a shadow that will never leave until our owners leave. And it will and does impact the football team.
If we do mention the Glazers after every loss, that means it's most weeks. So, you know, we have to laugh. We have to laugh.
You have to. I'd rather not, but I'd rather United won. Like, what's your actual prediction for the game?
I think we'll lose.
Yeah?
I think we'll lose. Just I think going away from home, it's our hardest game. Get it out of the way.
As Matt said, I think only Real Madrid can be harder than Bayern Munich away in the Champions League group stages this season. I think genuinely it's the second hardest game of the whole group stage. And it's our first Führer. It's Ten Hag's first ever United Champions League game. Like, and we've just lost two in a row. And we've got Antony and Sancho and injuries. It's just like, it's a shit sandwich. It properly is.
But sometimes those are the ones, and
oh yeah, sometimes, of course,
I'm clutching here, but sometimes those are the ones where you just get some mad performance.
Look at that, man. Like look, we got beaten by Brighton. Jeez, Brighton, the last two games that we've lost in the Premier League now against Brighton. Don't want to play them. We lost against Brighton and Brentford, and everybody was crapping themselves about Liverpool. And we go and do what we did last year, and that was, I remember that. And so we can do it. We can turn it on. But that was the third game of last season. This is the fifth game of the second season. So we shouldn't be having like repeating conversations. Like, the conversation should have moved forward. The football itself and how confident you feel about the press and the collectiveness and the control, they should have moved forward. And I think we're still kind of stuck in those conversations a little bit, which is concerning, I think, anyway. But like, I'm going to go for an optimistic score draw. That's what I'm hoping for.
We, as I said, we'll score first. But I think we'll concede a goal it's one of those where you think, how have we conceded that? Just one of those where you just think they haven't actually done anything good to break us. Of all the play Bayern have had, of all the possession, they'll score from something. And then it will just be last 15 minutes. It'll just be them camped in our half, us trying to do what we can and whether they find a goal or not. So I'm going for an optimistic late 2-1 loss.
If you don't laugh, you will cry. Maybe there's going to be three fully grown men just crying after we've got absolutely steamrolled by Bayern. But fingers crossed, we can come away with a result. Because I tell you what, Ten Hag needs it. We do need it. This club needs it. Kind of everywhere you looked over the international break, it was just bad news in every single direction. And it's not been that. Yeah, that Brighton game that was probably one of the worst. It was the measure of it. And with six Brighton players missing as well. But we'll be back I think we'll be back on, was it Thursday we're going to record next, but I think so. Maybe not if we lose. It depends. If we win, we're here. But now we'll be here. But look, appreciate your time, Jake. Appreciate your time, Bell. Tough titties right now as a United fan, isn't it? Really is.
This is a United People's TV and Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.